Joshua chapter number 5 tonight. We'll find our text. It's a great story. Story that's well familiar with most of us. Learned when we were young. Bible school. Learned in Sunday school the story of the walls of Jericho and how they came tumbling down. Joshua chapter number 5. We find it. Joshua, we know his name. It means Jehovah saves, or it means that the Lord is salvation. This Hebrew name Joshua, it's the same New Testament word for Jesus. Joshua, we know he was born a slave in Egypt. He's been faithful to serve God. He was trained by the man of God, Moses. And now in chapter number 5, we find Joshua is the commander, the ruler, the great military leader of the children of Israel. In Joshua chapter number 5, we find that the people of Israel, they're in preparation of conquering or going through, possessing this great land that God had promised to them. They had just crossed the River Jordan. They crossed over that dry ground. No doubt they were enthusiastic. They were excited. They were interested to see what God had before them. And we see that Joshua, knowing this great military leader that he is, he was ready to do battle with this first foe, this first enemy that he finds in Canaan land. We know that Joshua and God's people, they faced this battle, this fortified city. It would be a barrier. These walls, this trouble, this problem lies before them, and this city that is keeping them from possessing God's promise, what God had spoke to Moses, what God had spoke to Abraham and the promises before. And like Joshua, so many times we face barriers, we face obstacles, we face problems and troubles in our lives that keep us from being where God wants us to be. And tonight, as we read this story, I would like to see that the same principles that Joshua had to surrender to, that Joshua had to accept, are the same principles, the same precepts that you and I need to accept before we can be a victorious walk in Jesus Christ. It wasn't Joshua's strength, or it wasn't Joshua's savvy. It wasn't his military leadership or his might that made him the great man of God that he was. But it was God worked through him, God using him, and him being obedient to God's call, God's command, and God's ways. Like Joshua, we see some things in this story that before this hindrance fell, before the walls fell, some things in our lives that we need to accept to be victorious. I want to preach on the thought tonight, before the walls come tumbling down. Before the walls come tumbling down, Joshua faces someone that he runs head on to that we face as well. Joshua chapter 5, verse number 13. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord I am come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said to him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place thereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Father, we thank you tonight that we're able to be in the house of God. We thank you tonight, Father, for your blessings. Thank you, Father, for your grace, the songs that were sung, for the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. I pray now, God, that you would honor and bless the reading of your word, that you would speak to the hearts of your people. God, that you'd give me the thoughts, the message, the help that I need, Father, to proclaim, thus saith the Lord. We love you, Father. I pray you'd remove those walls in our lives. You would help us submit and surrender to you, Father, for we can be victorious in this Christian walk. God, we love you and thank you for all that you accomplish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Joshua, we find in our text, he's by Jericho. They've crossed the River Jordan. He's facing a great city, a fortified city. No doubt some commentators say it was the greatest fortified city in all of the land of Canaan. And he's by Jericho, and he faces one that he's never faced before. He sees this captain of the host of the Lord. He's by Jericho, and he runs into this representative. He runs into this warrior, this one standing in an offensive position, this one standing that stops him and is ready to do battle with Joshua. He's staring and standing with his sword drawn. And Joshua, no doubt the soldier that he was, this great military leader that he was, this brave man of God that he was, he's ready to do battle with this Lord of hosts. He says, ask this man a question. He asked him, he said, art thou for us or our adversaries? You see, this response from this Lord of hosts was going to determine how the rest of the conversation went. If he said that I'm for you, Joshua, that's great, that he's on our side, I can use him in the battle, I'll put him on the front line, I'll give him the right hand of fellowship, and everything will be okay. But if he says, no, I'm against you, I'm for your adversaries, Joshua no doubt would have drawn his sword. They would have sat there and went toe to toe and probably threw down right there in our text. But the answer you see here is not an answer that we sometimes expect. The question that Joshua answers is not a yes or no question. He asks, he said, art thou for us or our adversaries? He says, are you for us or are you for our enemies? Are you on our side or you on their side? And he's waiting for his answer. It's not a yes or no question. He's expecting to say, here I'm for you or I'm for them. I'm on your side or I'm on their side. But the answer that Joshua gets, I see, first of all, is perplexing. It's a perplexing answer. He says and he answers Joshua, no. In verse number 14. And he said, nay. Joshua says, meets the Lord of hosts. And let me add this tonight. This Lord of hosts is the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We'll find later on that Joshua falls down and worships him. We're told that we're not to worship angels. We're not to worship deities, cherubims, or we're not to worship spiritual beings. And then we find that Hebrews chapter 2, it speaks last week, we preached on the thought of Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation. And this is none other than Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate, that he faces Joshua. He asks him a question, are you on our side, are you on theirs? And God's response is no. No. No what? No, you're not on our side, or no, you're not with us. It's a perplexing answer. Jesus says no. I'm not for you, and I'm not for them. I'm not on your side, Joshua, or I'm not on their side, Joshua. He said, I'm here, not for you, not for them, but I'm here on heaven's interest. You see, Joshua, he had that same problem that you and I have. We say, God, are you on our side? God, are you with us, or God, are you with them? God, whose side are you going to be on in this situation, in this battle, in this problem that I'm going through? And God tells us, like he's telling Joshua, I'm not interested in your side, or I'm not interested in their side, but I'm interested in taking over. He sees in our text that he asks or answers a perplexing answer. He says no. Ronald Reagan, in that great speech that he gave, he said that we must be cautious in claiming God is on our side. The real question must be, are we on his side? Joshua, he wanted to get through these walls. He wanted to conquer this great city. He wanted to keep marching on to Canaan land. And he asked this question. He gets a perplexing answer. And we find here that God says, Joshua, you can't do it your way. You can't do it in your thoughts. You can't do it through your military expertise. You can't do it through your own behalf. If you want this journey to be a victorious one, if you want your life to be a victorious one, you must do it my way. Joshua, the question is not, am I on your side or I'm on their side? But the question is, Joshua, are you on my side? This same Lord of hosts tells Zerubbabel in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it's not by might, it's not by power, but my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. The question tonight is, Lord, are you for us or for you them? Are you for the right or are you for the left? Are you for the Republicans or are you for the Democrats? The question is, are we on God's side? We find in our text, Joshua asks a question. He gets a perplexing answer. And he asks, Joshua, are you on my side? You know, tonight God's not interested in our ways. He's not interested in choosing sides, but he's interested in someone. He's interested in a church, a group of people, his children being on his side, following him, answering to him. I wrote in my notes just a minute ago, I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take up your cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. I will go with him. I will go with him all the way. God's asking us tonight, are you on my side, is the question. The Lord of hosts, Jesus Christ, he's looking in Joshua's life the same way he's looking in our life. He's looking for total surrender. Joshua asks the question. He wants to know, are you for us or are you for them? And the response that he gets is perplexing. We find that many times the answers to our prayers, the answers to our desires, what we're seeking God, the desired outcome we're looking for may be perplexing. But it also may be painful. Notice in our text, in verse number 15, Joshua asked God, are you for us or for you or them? And God says, neither, Joshua, no. I'm looking to see who's on my side. And the first thing he tells Joshua to do in verse 15, he said, and the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. It may be painful for the response that we get from God. If you study this area, this terrain, it was not a lush piece of grass. It wouldn't have been a great smooth meadow. It wouldn't have been a nice rolling gentle hill. But this area, it was a rocky, it was a rough terrain. It was a thorn riddled land. It was a rough land. And God tells Joshua to take off your shoes. It may have been painful for Joshua. It was perplexing to Joshua. Lord, are you for us or for them? And he gets the answer, neither, Joshua. Are you on my side? And now he's asking Joshua to do something that's uncomfortable. Many times, God will ask us to do something that's uncomfortable. He says, Joshua, take off your shoes. Joshua runs into the Lord of hosts. He says, God, I'm surrendering to you. I'm giving my all to you. I'm laying my life to you. I'm giving you everything I have. I surrender my command of my people, of my position, of my power. Lord, you just tell me what to do, and that's what I'll do. And he tells Joshua to take off your shoes. We find Joshua is no longer this great man of God that everyone, or the military leader, the commander that he once views himself, but he finds himself as being a servant. Notice in our text in verse 14, the Bible says, and he said, nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? The Bible says he worshiped. He worshiped in the sight of Jesus Christ. Many times in our text, We are in our life, in our thoughts, in our vocabulary, we think of worship as praising. We think of worship as lifting hands and singing and shouting and running and all is well on the mountaintop. But that's not what we find in our text. All Joshua was doing to worship was surrendering to God. Our pastor mentions that many times. The law of first mention. The first time the word worship's used is there as Abraham is taking his son up to the mountain to sacrifice him to God. You don't find Abraham shouting the house down and running laps around the church and singing praises to God. But God, the Bible says that Abraham worshiped. You see, worshiping is of being obedient to God. Doing what God tells you to do. If he tells you to throw up your hands, throw them up. But if he tells you to go witness to your neighbor, to tell that man or that woman what God's done for you, how he saved your soul, and he can do it for them, that's worship. He falls at his feet. He surrenders all. He worships God. He's being obedient. The answer he gets is perplexing to him. It may be painful to him. And we find that he says to loose off or to take off thy shoes, for the place thou standest is holy ground. John the Baptist put it this way. John chapter 3, verse 30. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. That's what he was telling Joshua. Joshua, if you want to get through those walls, if your people's going to be victorious, if you're going to live a life that's a victorious life, you're going to have to decrease. You're going to have to be on my side, and I'm going to have to increase. Joshua takes off his shoes. It may have been painful, but he was willing to surrender all to his Lord. It's perplexing to Joshua. It may have been painful for Joshua. He meets this man. He asks a question. He gets a perplexing answer. He tells him to take off his shoes. Joshua surrenders. Joshua does. He worships. He's surrendering all to God. He falls to the earth. It's perplexing to him. It's maybe painful to him. But also they see that Joshua receives God's plan. No doubt this plan that Joshua receives is not the plan that he was strategizing. Verse 13. It says, came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho. It doesn't tell us why Joshua was by Jericho, but no doubt him being that military leader, the commander, he was by that city. He was surveying the walls. He was planning. He was studying. He was thinking. He was seeing how he's going to get through and over the city. He was pondering. But in chapter number 6, Joshua receives God's plan. I can see Joshua surrendering all to God, giving his all to God, surrendering command. Lord, I realize that if I'm going to do what you want me to do, it may be perplexing. It sometimes may be hard to understand. It may be painful even, but I give it all to you, and now I'm ready for the plan. What's it going to be, God? Are we going to take a battering ram and ram the gates? Are we going to take ladders and rush the city? Will we catapult rocks and boulders against the wall and shoot fiery arrows over the wall? What's the plan going to be? And God gives Joshua his plan. Joshua, this is what I want you to do. On day number 1, I want you to take your men and walk around the city. Don't say a word. And go back and lay down. I can see Joshua, he's surrendered all to God. He's given all to God, and him saying, Lord, is that's what you want me to do, that's what I'll do. How about number 2, Joshua? Day 2, well, what's it going to be, God? Are we going to send a great mighty wind that'll shake the foundations of the wall? Will it rain fire and brimstone like it did in Sodom and Gomorrah? And he tells Joshua, this is the plan. Just walk around the city, go back, and lay down. How about day number 3, Lord? Same thing. Day number 4, Lord? Same thing. Do you see that God's plan, no doubt, was not Joshua's plan? But he surrendered his authority, his command, to the Lord. I can just hear now those people in the camp saying, I told you, he didn't know what he was doing. I can hear them say and murmur, well, this is not the way Moses did it. I can hear him say, I told you, he had no idea. He couldn't fight himself out of a wet paper sack. You see, God's plan many times may not be our plan. We may not understand God's plan. We may not realize God's plan. We may not see that God's plan for our lives is going to be the one that brings him honor and glory and magnify his son. There was a saying years ago that went around in Christendom, was to let go and let God. Joshua, he's having to let go of his plan. He's having to let go of his strength, his ways. He's having to get rid of his might, and he's having to let God work through him. I can imagine that ridicule. Just a ridicule from the brethren. Marching around day one, day two, day three, day four, all 7 days. And the ridicule, the backbiting, the murmuring against the man of God. But not only that, the ridicule from the enemy. As they're high on the wall, looking down on the men of God, or Joshua overlooking the children of Israel, saying, look at them. Where are the ones we're supposed to be afraid of? The reports we've heard is not true. This is a weak group of people, a low group of people. The reports we heard were not so. You know, there was a time when the man of God was reverenced. There was a time when an honorable, faithful, trusty church member was revered. There was a time when the house of God and the people of the house of God was respected. But now, a born-again, blood-bought, Bible-believing, fundamental, a Holy Ghost-filled Christian is mocked, they're shamed, they're looked down upon, and they're viewed as narrow-minded and outdated. But I want to encourage this church tonight. If you may not understand God's plan in your life, but just like these children of Israel, just keep marching, just keep praying, just keep tithing, just keep singing, just keep being faithful, just keep reading your Bible, just keep shouting, just keep praising his name, just keep being obedient, and you'll find eventually that those walls will come tumbling down. Your plan may not be God's plan. I noticed in our text that it's not everybody's plan to preach. There was only 7 priests that carried the ark. It may not be everybody's plan in this church to sing songs. There were only 7 that blew the trumpet. It may not be everybody's plan to teach Sunday school or to be a deacon or to be a missionary. But notice in our text, it's everybody's plan to shout. Verse 5 in chapter 6. And it came to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. It's God's plan for everyone to be faithful, to worship, to praise his name, to keep marching. He expects us to be obedient. He expects us as Joshua to do what he says. If our walls are going to come tumbling down, those answers we're looking for many times will be perplexing. They may be painful. It may not be our plan, but it'll be God's plan. But we see that it's going to come through praise. Verse number 16. The Bible says, and it came to pass, at the 7th time, this is the 7th day, the 7th time they've marched around the city, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said to his people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. It's God's plan that we keep promoting Jesus Christ. It's God's plan that we uplift His Savior, that we reverence Him, that we look to Him, the author and the finisher of our faith. They could have marched around this city all 7 days. Joshua could have been faithful in God's plan on the seventh day, marched around seven times. They could have been faithful in carrying the ark and blowing the trumpets. But I notice if they hadn't have done all that God wanted them to do, if they hadn't have shouted, these walls would still be standing. Our preacher preached this morning about our walk, our conversation, our influence, our faithfulness, our life, our commitment will influence others, either positive or negative. In Joshua's life, because he surrendered it when he met the Lord of hosts, the pre-incarnate Christ, because he surrendered it, it was showed faithfulness, it showed total surrender to the people. Now, because of this surrender, they're all shouting and winning the victory against this city. Verse 16. It says, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. This shout, it was not only a war cry, but in the Hebrew, it means to lift up your voice for joy, for triumph, and for victory. They're making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Before their walls ever come tumbling down, before they ever got victory, they were praising God for who He was and what His promises and what He was going to do. I asked my pastor earlier if I could share this. He said it was okay. Michael, his son, the night he got saved, he was struggling with his salvation. He told the Lord during a service that, God, You could give me assurance, and I know if I'm lost or if I'm saved, if my dad got up and took a lap around the church. Preacher Roy said that the Lord told him to get up and take off running. Under obedience of God, when our pastor got up and he took a lap around the church, Michael knew that he was lost. Because what he had told God. You know, if it wouldn't have been for our pastor's obedience, his total surrender, not doing or not doing what God had told him to do, we'd never know. My question is to you tonight, have you totally surrendered to God? Are you worshiping Him? When He tells you, when He directs you, when He guides you to do, resisting, or are you saying, yes, Lord, I'm obedient. I will do as You command me to do. It comes through praise. Our being obedient, it will either help or it will hinder someone else from getting through the walls. Verse 16, it says, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. I find in our text the one thing they needed, their very desire that day, the one thing they were praying for was to get through the city, and that's what God had given them. Shout, for the Lord hath given you. What's the Lord given us? Eternal life, forgiveness of sin, joy in our heart, the shed blood of Christ, a good home, a great church, good pastor, food in their stomach, clothes on our back. Shout for what the Lord hath done. There's a song that we sing, for whatever I need, that's just what He is. He's my rock, He's my deliverer, He's my strength, my God and my King. For He's a shelter in a time of trouble. Yes, I can look to Him for everything. He can be a mother, a father, a friend. And on Him, you can always depend. For I know whatever I need, that's just what He is. We find that true to this text. They were needing to get through the city, and that's just what God delivered them from. It'll come through praise. It'll come through also following the priest, following our pastor. Verse 10, chapter 6, in closing, The Bible says, and Joshua commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then ye shall shout. You know, many times, what our pastor does may not make sense to us. But if he's praying, if he's seeking God, if he's looking for God's will, God's help, God's direction, being the under-shepherd that God's called him to do, it's not our job to understand, but it's our job to follow. And that's what the men, the children of Israel, this great host does. They follow the priest. They follow their pastor. They follow the man of God and do as he bids. Before their walls came tumbling down, Joshua got a perplexing answer. It may have been painful. He didn't understand. We find that his plan wasn't his plan. It was going to come through praise. It was going to come through following the priest, the man of God. They had to surrender to God's will. My question to you tonight, have you surrendered? What's God asking you to do? What's he calling you to do in your life? Misty, if you'll come to the piano and play something on the piano. We'll all stand. I think the Lord have stopped there tonight. Joshua asks God, are you on our side or our adversaries? And God asked Joshua the question. I've not come to take sides, but I've come to see whose side you're on. Father, I pray tonight you'd speak to the hearts of your people. Lord, I'm thankful that you know exactly what we need, when we need it. Lord, I don't know what this people are facing, their daily lives, the many battles, problems, sicknesses they face. Lord, I believe if we would surrender as Joshua, if we would lay all down and give to you, I think, Father, that you would see that those walls will come tumbling down in your time. Father, I pray that you'd help us keep faithful, that you would keep us obedient, Father, that we could worship, we could do as you say, do as you bid, and as you guide. Lord, I pray that you would hear the cries, the prayers of your people. Answer according to your Son's riches and glory. And we'll thank you and praise you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray.